Morning, church. It's really good to be here with everyone today. If I could have all of the life group leaders and co-leaders, if you're a leader of a small group, though you may not call it a life group, please stand. Let us recognize you. Wait a minute now. Where's all the ladies that are there? There's one right there that are leading ladies' Bible study groups. Any of y'all? All right, well, let's thank them for all their service. We want to thank you for all you do for this church, and there are lots of Bible class teachers and other folks who lead in other ways, and today marks the beginning of our new life group season, and sign up sheets are in the back, and I want to remind everybody that tonight we're having a church-wide gathering. It's just sort of to celebrate the kickoff of life groups, and it'll be out at Wisteria Vines. And I want to say thank you to Mike and Rhonda Unruh for allowing us to use that venue. And I hope you bring some food, and it's going to be a really good time. We're going to have some singing and some discussion. And it's for the entire church. So we want you to know just a few very simple things about our small group program. And these are some things that we want our life to be intentional about these few things. First, we want you to be intentional about growing in Christ. This is about growing in Christ. It's about helping one another to grow in Christ, to develop a deeper relationship, not only with one another, but with God and with His Son and with the Spirit. Also, we want to be intentional about reaching out, and the opportunity will come or may come this life group season where you have the opportunity to reach out to someone who is not a member of the body here, and we want to be intentional about helping them to grow as well. And we also want our leaders and others as well. You may not feel like you could ever lead, but we want to be intentional about looking towards that who may be a leader.
Some of our groups are going to grow to the point where they need to multiply.
They need to form too, and so we need to be thinking intentionally about who's group. Thank you for all you do. Thank you for those of you who are leading. Those of you who will be leading from sort of from the sidelines, so to speak. You'll be there in support. We're excited about this year. Our lesson today goes right along with the idea of growing in Christ. In fact, we looked last week at Ephesians chapter 4. That's our text last week and this week. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 16. And today we're going to focus on verses 11 through 16. But remember, there was an idea of this picture. Remember, there was an idea of this picture. The first couple of verses of Jesus being descended, came to earth, and then he ascended, went back to heaven. When he did, he led captives, he led captivity captive, literally. And so there's this picture of this great triumph. That was a thing. That was a real thing in the Roman Empire. These conquering generals would go off and they would conquer a land and they would come back and the Senate in Rome would give them this huge parade in their honor. And they would parade through the streets of Rome right on up to the Temple of Jupiter. And they would there they would sacrifice white oxen to their god. And they would lead captives that they had taken, even kings, captured kings, they would lead them, and sometimes these captives would be given as given as captives would be given as other times they were slaves, and other times they would be sacrificed as well. As the truth of this is that Jesus has come, and he is victorious over death. He's been victorious his life and the life that he lived.
So
his triumph is he led captivity captive.
He led captivity.
He has come to set us free from all of the things in life that give us bondage, that put us in bondage. And all of that, everything that Jesus did,
all of that,
was due to God's goodness.
It was all due to God's goodness. And
we didn't deserve it. We didn't do anything to deserve it. Today we're going to look at another truth, and that is God is not responsible.
There's a part of this that allows us to be involved in and requires some choice made. How many of y'all remember? Is that a real thing?
I remember these ridiculous outfits that my mother used to make me wear. Y'all remember that? Huh? Any husbands and wife ever got in an argument about, usually from the husband saying, why are you going to make my boy wear that? I remember my mom would make me wear a tie, and she didn't like the tie to flop around, and she would make me tuck,
which I thought was weird.
Mom, you're not tuck ties in.
All of us went through this thing. In our younger years, we had absolutely no control whatsoever. I don't recall ever being asked, hey, do you want to be born? As a baby, what do you want to eat? Is it okay?
Where do you want to live from this place to this place? Is it okay if we move from this place to this place?
No, the choices were made for us.
We didn't get to choose. We're in the habit of where we are today in life, to where we have the ability to make some choices. And the choices that we make have long-lasting consequences, and it influences behavior, and we engage in that behavior over and over. Folks, that's what it's like in this human experience. We've all made good choices, and we've all made bad choices. So, where you're at, to some degree, it's the old argument, nature versus nurture argument. All of us are the product of some of our past.
All of us have made choices that happened to us by things we had no control over at a certain age. But all of us are also who we are today. We are who we are based on that we made choices, that we will be in 10 years, 5 years, a year. We will be the choices that we continue to make.
So when we talk about human, it's a huge field. Lots of really smart people devoted to it. Everyone wants to know in this field, how does change really happen?
I've come to the conclusion that change is really difficult.
That may not be such a surprise to you.
I remember just in the last few years looking at change and studying change, realizing just how difficult it is. I hate to keep falling back on this, but just to stop eating so much sugar.
I heard someone think it's most hurting, the ones we change when we feel the heat. We change when there's no consequence. When we are hurt, we change when we make up our mind and we make some really, really concrete decisions. And we follow that up with action. Change is really difficult, but it is not impossible. And so, though God gave me the gifts to serve you, and He gave you the gifts to serve me and to serve the rest of the body, it's still based on our choice, isn't it? The text tells us that
as Jesus led that triumphant procession into heaven. And in a figurative way, led captivity captive, it says that he gave gifts to men.
He gave gifts to men.
Some. It was Jesus Christ himself who gave some.
Jesus Christ himself who gave some.
And some to be prophets.
And some to be evangelists.
And some to be shepherds.
Evangelists.
Some to be
teachers.
And some to be teachers.
God gave us those gifts.
But God gave us those gifts.
Y'all, if we want to use them or not.
Y'all,
if we want to use them. I can sit on my gifts. And
they will never impact at all.
They will never
you can do the same thing.
In fact,
you
can
say that probably all of us have a gift or two.
Probably all of us have a gift or two.
That maybe we've sat on for a long time.
Maybe we've sat on for a long time.
Never used it. Never used it.
It's so encouraging to see.
It's so encouraging.
We know that one person.
I mean, we know that one person who does such great gifts, the giving of their gifts, the sharing of their riches,
sharing of their ability,
courage to us.
Courage to us. So
Jesus gave his gifts
with purpose.
With purpose.
I want you to think about that word. That's kind of the word.
I want you to think about that word. That's kind of the word.
That's the word of the day, but that's the word for the next couple
of minutes. I don't know if that's the word of the day, but that's the word for the next couple of minutes.
The word purpose.
The word purpose.
Some folks would describe this as
some folks would describe this as finding.
I heard a guy say one time.
I heard a guy say one time.
I read it or heard it somewhere, but it stuck with me.
I don't know if I read it or heard it somewhere, but it stuck with me. I wrote it down.
When you come up against any kind of
difficult. It is very difficult to
come on and use
gifts.
And use out there.
The baby means that we got to put ourselves out there. And the guy said, you got to find a why that is bigger than your options. If you want to use your gifts, you got to find your why. You got to find a purpose that is bigger than your obstacles. One of the passages we looked at last week was James chapter 1, verse 17. And James said that who is the giver of all good and perfect gifts? God is. God is the giver of all good and perfect gifts. And I have often read that passage and thought about my life. Thought about the blessing of my life. And I know all of us didn't have the same upbringing. Some of you had a background upbringing. And so I think my life, and I think about all of the good things that I have.
All the good things that I have.
Every good thing.
Every good thing.
Is a gift.
That would include
every good thing. And that would include you. That would include the body of Christ. It's all a gift from God. And God gives gifts, folks, and purpose. There are some huge wows. I just think about all the ridiculous gifts that we used to give way back in the day. I remember back, does anybody remember mood rings?
And I learned after 30 years of marriage,
my wife doesn't need to wear a mood ring for me to know what kind of mood she's
in.
After 30 years of marriage, I can know within 10 seconds of walking in the front door. What kind of mean? Huh?
Right? Remember that most crazy thing that got invented?
What about the most crazy thing that got invented?
Pet rocks is meaningful.
Rocks are free. You can go get a rock anywhere. And there were lots of other ridiculous gifts. I remember the sea monkeys. Y'all remember them? I thought that was the coolest thing. Jesus doesn't give gifts like that, y'all. Jesus gives gifts
with purpose.
He gives gifts that have a purpose. So let's read our text one more time. We're not going to go back and read from verse 7. We're going to pick up at verse 11. So Christ himself gave the pastors and teachers to equip his people for work service.
The body of Christ
may be built up until we all unity
built up
in the knowledge of God
and in the knowledge of God and
becoming mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ.
And we will no longer.
Then we will no longer be blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him Who is the head? That is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So, what is Jesus' end game? If all of the gifts that Jesus gives are gifts of purpose, and Jesus had a huge why,
and Jesus had a huge why, and Jesus suffered like he did, unless he suffered like he did, unless he was humongous.
In fact, it was as big as the world. What? You know, there's passages where we read it and we really struggle to find the meaning. We struggle with it. And maybe there are competing interpretations. This isn't one of those, y'all. This is not one of those. Jesus' purpose is just crystal clear. His purpose is maturity. He gave all of those gifts.
He gave,
in fact, if you turn to Romans chapter 12, we're not going to read those, but those are the main testing of And I would say every single one of those had the purpose, the ultimate purpose, in the church.
I don't want to lose it, y'all, of just how important it is. Just how important we be concerned with that we be concerned with
Christ.
The growth
of the body.
I mean, those of you who are parents, how many of y'all want your kids to grow up and leave home? A couple. You know, there's probably going to be some tears. There's probably going to be some tears shed. But I would say that all of us from a certain angle, we don't want our kids to stay at home forever. If our kids didn't mature, we would be really, really worried.
It's like every single time my kids come home, those dive of mood in the house. It lasts for 2 or 3 days. That sweet wife of mine, she has to do a little bit of grieving. And it happens when we leave the kids.
She loves them so much, and they mean so much. But she would never choose for our kids not to grow up. How odd must it look to God, not to be mature for a church? How strange must it appear? The one who gave his life for there to be, and there to be, who maybe have been, they've been Christians,
toddlers, even in faith.
And Paul repeats himself
Seven times to let us know just different wording around this idea of maturity. He says it's for these gifts are for the building up of the body. Therefore, reaching of unity. Therefore, the attaining of the fullness.
So the body can be stable and protected and not blown about. By the storm. So the body can be maturing.
So the question for us today, are we growing?
Are you growing? You see, if the purpose of all of these gifts are so that the body would be mature, I think it matters. I think it must matter to God. It must really matter to him if we aren't maturing.
Lots of tests to determine whether or not during your sex question.
Crystal clear answer to this question.
Majority of our concern is, or is body. And I would say that if my concern is about me, then that's probably a pretty good sign our maturity is that learn about rest of the body. We talked about choice a good bit earlier.
I want to go back to verse 12. And though God gave Jesus these gifts. And he gave them himself.
God
to the church.
It is God.
It is God.
Choice,
and he gives us
as to whether or not to be involved in this process.
Why did Jesus give these gifts to the church?
It was for the maturity. And how would that maturity take place? To equip his people. Verse 12 says to equip his people so that the body of Christ may be.
Folks, to me, that is a very profound yet exceedingly simple concept, right? God is not going to, through a clap of thunder or a bolt of light, on any of them. That is not going to happen. None of your kids came out of the womb full grown. And when you come out of those baptismal waters and begin your walk with Christ, when you are, in a sense, made one with Him,
you're not just going to become a mature follower of Christ.
It doesn't happen that way. It happens through the rest of the body using and applying and exercising the gifts. Why did God intend it to be that way? Who knows? But that is clearly how God intends the body to mature.
So, as we add health, am I growing? Are we using our gifts? Also have to ask ourselves, am I willing to sacrifice my gift, my ability, my blessing, my resource on the body for its benefit?
Jesus' goal for us was that we would be a strong, faithful, unified, mature body.
And that's how he plans to change the world.
Would you pray with me, please? God, we thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your love,
your wisdom,
for your love, for the giving of your Son,
for the world. Giving of your Son so much for the world.
Father, so much for the triumph and the victory that he experienced, and for which we hope, Father, as he was resurrected from the dead. Father, we thank you for all the good gifts that you've given us. And Father, as your servant Paul has said in another place, Father, we have everything we need that pertains to life and godliness. Father, we thank you for the gifts that you've given us. We thank you for the people in this body. Who can give us a way, spend time and their energy, money, and their resources. Body can be made mature. And Father, I pray that we all would have that mindset. Help us as we play to ask the question.
What is the gift that you've given us individually and corporately?
What is the purpose? And how can I use that purpose to better build up, to better mature this body, so that the lost can be saved?
Thank you so much for your love for the indescribable gift of your Son Jesus.
It's in His name we pray.
If you have a spiritual need this morning, maybe you have never taken the opportunity to be joined with Jesus in baptism.
We want to give you that opportunity this morning. And to rise just as he rose out of that water, as he rose out of the grave, a person, a new woman, a new man, a new young woman, a new young man. If you have a need for that this morning, we would love to share that time with you.
And if maybe you have gifts that you're not using,
maybe you have gifts that you're not using,
spend some time with you to
think
thinking about those gifts. Ask yourself
some hard questions. Ask yourself
some hard questions. How could I use it?
Am I using my gift?
Please come if we can help you in any way.
Please come if we can help you in any way.